Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. I have the absolutely fabulous Sophia Satou with me today, all the way from New York City. It is New York City, isn't it? Not New York State.
Well, I'm not in New York City. I'm in the outskirts of New York City, but I am in New York State.
New York State. Yes, I got tricked up with booking a concert there one time, so I'll go into that. We're just having a conversation about how confusing that is for some of us. So yes. Safia is a business and marketing coach who helps women entrepreneurs escape survival mode and build profitable, freedom-first businesses using her signature Reach 50 framework. And over a decade of experience, she teaches service-based founders to create sales ecosystems that grow on autopilot. I love the sound of that. That was one of the reasons I wanted to have the conversation with you, because we just get so busy in our own workplace and we want things to be working without us being there. So that means it allows them to scale sustainably without burnout or being tied to their business 24/7. And as an avid traveler and spending a lot of time away from my business, I absolutely love that. Welcome, Sophia.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to have this conversation.
I'll go into the New York thing before we go anywhere else. Mm-hmm. I was heading to New York City and I saw the Doobie Brothers were playing in New York.
Okay.
Without checking where they were playing in New York, I booked tickets to attend the concert and I'd missed out on it here in Brisbane. And then when I did the research, it was 8 hours by train to the city where they were playing, and it didn't fit in with our travel plan. So I had to, forego missing the Doobie Brothers. And that was the first concert I ever went to when I was 16 years old.
Wow.
Absolutely loved them. And so hopefully at some stage they may, you know, not retire and or drop off the planet and come back to Brisbane. And yes, so that was a reminder that New York City and New York State, it's New York, New York.
Yes.
These are different places. But I love New York City.
Yes, most people, when they think New York, they think Manhattan, they think New York City. So, but there's a whole world outside of that.
Absolutely. And it is great to adventure around that world.
Yeah.
That was a very short bio. You're going to tell me a lot more about yourself now.
Oh, that was a short bio. Okay.
I prefer it when my guests talk about themselves and explain. You know, one thing to say that you help people do that, but I don't know, who are you? We haven't met before. What's your experience and why is this so important for you?
Well, I guess let me start with the middle of the ground answer. Not the too long, not the too short, but first and foremost, I'm a mom of three. I come from a long line of business owners. I've grown up in businesses. Ever since I was little, I remember being like at the cash register at my family store, just always knowing that like there was a business, not somebody going to a desk job, right? And then after I got married and I moved to New York, and then I had my first baby, I decided then and there that I did not want to go back to working a regular 9-to-5. I wanted to be home with my kid. I wanted to be present. I wanted to be able to, you know, I never wanted to be at my beautiful Manhattan skyrise, you know, view of the city. And then someone calls me and like, oh, he just made his first steps, or he just said this or whatever. I never wanted to miss out on that. So I did quit my corporate job and I just dedicated myself to being a full-time mom. Fast forward 1 year and I'm like, okay, there's got to be more to me than diapers and dishes. There's got to be more to me than that. And so like many women, we have this purpose that's bigger than just being a mom or just being a wife, and that nothing is wrong if you don't like that is everything that you are right now in your world or ever, that's perfectly fine. But I think there's so many women that know, I want to fulfill something bigger. There's something like I love my family, I love my children, I love my what I have created here, but I know that there's a part of me that's meant to do something more. And I think that was the part of me that was really calling to me. And I was very young at the time. I had him at 24. So I was like, wait, hold on, hold on. I'm not done here. And so I started my very first freelance business. I knew going back to like a corporate job wasn't going to be it for me. I needed to find something I can do from home. So I started a freelance writing company. And then that was very successful for about 2 years, maybe like close to 3 years. Then I had my second baby. And this is supposed to be the medium version of the story. So I'm trying to
That's
like,
okay. We've got an out. It's fine.
but then I had my second baby. And that's when I realized that it was more for me. It was like I really wanted to be helping people. And I know that sounds super cliche, but I've always been the person that my friends will come to, my parents will come to, my coworkers will come to, my neighbors will come to. And I remember I was on the phone with a friend, and my son was there. He was little, and I was folding laundry, and he was covered in a pile of laundry. And I remember it was like a 2 hour long conversation. And then I hung up the phone and I said, gosh, I have got to get paid for this. Because she walked away like completely like mind blown. She would have never thought about that, laid out a solution. And I felt really great about helping her, but I'm like, wow, I'm really good at this. Where are these things coming from? They're just naturally coming to me. And so it was in that moment, I literally said, I gotta find a way to get paid for this. And it was funny, but it was also very true. And something clicked in my brain at that point. I'm like, I wonder if something like therapy or, becoming a psychologist or, something like that would be good for me. So I started exploring that path. And again, long story short, I ended up landing on coaching. And when I learned about coaching, I realized that that is what I was meant to do because I knew that it was like I remember them explaining it to me that therapy and stuff like that is fantastic, but it gets people back from functional, it gets people from dysfunctional to functional. And coaching gets people from functional to optimal. And that's when I realized that's what I'm really good at. Like I'm here to like, what's next? Let's get you optimized. And so went into learning all I can, got my certifications, went to a year-long program. Finished that program and was hired back by that school to come back and teach incoming coaches. And so that was what first got me launched into my business, teaching incoming coaches how to like, practice this art, but then also launching my own business and starting to work with new coaches and entrepreneurs and service providers and small business owners and helping them to start, grow, and scale their businesses. And so now it's been about close to next year is going to be 12 years since I've been doing this kind of work. And it's been amazing. It has changed a lot over the years. The landscape has changed. The kind of marketing we do has changed. But my passion and my love for it hasn't changed. So.
No, excellent. Thank you. And look, what you've defined is something that Simon Sinek talks about. If you're doing something that you don't like, it's stressful. If you're doing something that you love, it's a passion. And
And
you
don't get
have
me
to
wrong,
do it.
there's been stressful moments in the business.
Oh, well,
I
gosh,
think
yes.
that's right. But I think the thing is that it was never, this is too stressful. I can't handle this anymore. It doesn't matter. This is not my path. It was always like, okay, it's the stress, but this comes with the business. I love what I do. I'm so attached to my why. I know the results I get from my clients. I see the way their lives change. That's so worth whatever stress comes with it, right?
Yeah. And when you're doing, and that's something that, I speak to so many women within the masterminds and clients and networking, and so many women are looking for that. And I know I did the same many years ago. My oldest son is 42, so It was a while ago, but I remember being on a, and there's moments, defining moments up there that you, I remember being on a train with a girlfriend, and my first son was just a toddler. Think, and we're both talking about, okay, we look exactly the same. And I, so many women are going to resonate with your story. They, we loved our kids, love being mothers and doing all that, but looking for that more. And at that modern woman, that's what we do. It's not that our family, we want to neglect our family, but there's something else. We've got skills and abilities to do something else. And I remember thinking, well, maybe I could study architecture. I can't imagine that I would have done that now. But that was, you know, we went through all of these different ideas to find something that, okay, what can fill the bucket a little bit more? And you know, for me, enabling my mission is to enable people to do what they don't believe is possible. So for me, that gets me up every single day. It's just seeing people achieve, and it's the same with you. So yes, there's stressful moments, but it's the passion to do it. It makes it easier. So when you got to get that done, there's a deadline, and I need to work on a Saturday or Sunday, it's then fine. I will do that. Not a problem.
I agree.
So that I'm glad you went through that story, because I'm sure there's so many women listening who are going, yep, that's exactly how I feel, and feeling that sense of there's something bigger out there for
And I
us.
feel like if someone is going through that listening right now and they haven't figured out what that something else is yet, or they might be feeling torn or conflicted or feeling guilt, like would, and I will tell you, I'm pretty sure every woman, mom in business felt this at some point. They will probably be contemplating, well, if will this mean that now it will come at the cost of my family? Now it will come at the cost of, you know, my free time and spending time with my kids and da 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 da. Well, there's going to be some of that. But this is where boundaries will come into place. This is where setting things up right will come into place. And that can be hard sometimes. But the bigger picture is how happy will you be in the long run if you starve that calling within you, right? Sorry, hold on.
That's a
Hang
really
on.
good point about how happy you will be if you hold that back. And I've always been of the mindset that if I fill my bucket first, whether it's financially, whether it's health-wise, whether it's emotional or a mental capacity, if I fill my bucket first, then I am able to help a lot more, and help, you know, being able to help my sons through stages in their life when they've had different difficult situations, and rather than being an emotional wreck or not having the finances to support them, I've been able to do that because of filling the bucket first. That's something
Absolutely,
that's so
absolutely.
vital.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And then you're fulfilled, and you're not resentful or any of those feelings like, you know, you had to sacrifice your passions or anything like that. You can show up fully because you are actually fulfilling all of the little buckets in your life too.
And look, spending time with family was obviously very important to me, and part of that was I was the soccer coach for a couple of years, because that you have the time, and it's then figuring out what you can delete out of your life that is not a priority. Fortunately, when you know, or when my sons were being raised, we didn't have social media, and we wouldn't waste hours a day scrolling through things or commenting or looking at stuff that's another thing that's causing the stress. We would just do what we were doing, and it's that was a blessing that we didn't have that extra component. And there's a lot of extra things that into running businesses now that we didn't have in the past either.
I mean, 12 years ago, when I started this, things have changed so much. Even though I was utilizing social media, the way you utilize social media now has evolved so much too. And every year, and that's another topic that I'm really passionate about because I do believe that if you do not have a social media presence, if you don't have some sort of a digital footprint, you're doing your business a disservice in today's economy and in today's world. But things have changed and evolved so much from when it was just posting on in Facebook groups, right? Like it's completely evolved now. So things are always changing in the marketplace. And so, you know, there's things that you have to be on top of and willing to pivot and willing to be able to be adaptable if you want to stay in the game as well.
Just on the social media, now we're talking about how people can save themselves time and put things on autopilot. So social media is a big thing, and it's so easy to get distracted. What's systems or even just how you can emotionally apply that to yourself, as well as the setting up a system?
Yes, such a great question. So I think with social media, you have to know what your goal is, right? Like, what are you using social media for, depending on the stage of business that you're in? If let's just say you are starting your business out for the first time and you're looking to build an audience, right? You're looking to build an audience to build brand awareness and you're leveraging social media. When you're in that stage, the type of content that you will want to be pushing out is going to be slightly different. The amount of content you're going to want to be pushing out is slightly different. So it might require a different system from you. So let's in that bucket, a system can very, very simple system can be batch creating your content like once a week so that you don't have to be on every single day. And so therefore your content is getting posted, you're getting into the algorithms, but you are not in it every single day, right?
That
If
is,
you
that's
have
one of my favorite words, Sophia, batching.
Yes.
People
There's
say to me, "How
also
come you've got so much content? How?" And they've been saying this for years. And I go, "Well, I'll just go right this afternoon." And it's so funny when I make videos, it's after a hairdresser day. I'll go to the hairdressers, and then I'll spend 2 hours making 15 videos on, a 60-second business bite on a particular subject, and then it's done.
Exactly. Listen, I don't like getting here. I don't like getting dressed up every single day. I mean, I like to, but I don't want to. I'm behind my desk. I'm doing client work. I'm running ads. I'm running out, helping people run their businesses. And so what I do is I'll know a certain day of the week is my dress up day. And when my, and I do not want to waste my hair and my makeup. So you better believe I'm getting those videos created.
I am so with you.
And I
Look,
also
it makes a lot of sense. I do videos on my hairdressing day. Unfortunately, I only go once every 8 weeks, and that is the day that I make the videos. It's
There you go.
yeah.
Exactly. And I, if you have the resources as well, you know, if you have a VA or you have a family member or a younger child, you know, they can help you create the graphics and then have the graphics, you know, in a drive somewhere. That's a, this is all part of a system, right? I think there's a lot of people that are operating their businesses on emotion and on, you know, and this might come off a little bit wrong, but on intuition, like, oh, I just feel this inspiration to do this today. And that's great. Create when you feel that inspiration because sometimes that is the best work. But that's not sustainable. That's not sustainable because you're not gonna constantly feel inspired. Not every single day you're gonna be living in this world of inspiration and then be pumping out content. And you might start writing that thing or start with the idea and then you get distracted or whatever the case may be, and it's this half-baked idea. Versus when you have a dedicated time, like, and I literally block time out in my calendar to, you know, allocate to this part of your marketing because this is an essential part of brand presence is your marketing, right? So that could be, and it doesn't matter what stage of your business, beginning, it's accelerated, wherever, that could be a system in place. You know, in, it can get more complicated or more, not complicated, but more sophisticated, the more advanced you get in terms of having a team, in terms of having like AI do some of that for you, in terms of just having tools and softwares, things like that, helping you to, in terms of having even ads. You know, one of the things that I'm super passionate about is ads because ads literally will take, instead of social media requiring you to post every day, for instance, you can have 3 to 4 pieces of content that's running to a cold audience for $2, $3 a day. And that same piece of content can be getting out into all of the world, seeing a new person every single day, versus in the organic algorithm, it dies out after a day or two, right? So ads could be another great system that you can implement.
Yes, and knowing how to do that well is extremely important. Otherwise, you just waste money on doing ads. And a lot of people have said, "Oh, I've spent so much money on ads." And then you look at the type of marketing they're doing, and rather people don't think about what is the outcome I want from this ad. They just advertise. Yes, yeah. But it is, and yes, and having systems set in place, and as you mentioned, having VAs or someone else helping with it as well is extremely important. A lot of people starting out can't afford that, and prioritizing your time is the most important factor. Where's the biggest bang for the buck? And I know I've worked with people who may spend, quite a few hours a week physically going into areas and physically meeting people and networking events. So for me, that's highly valuable because I can have a conversation and I have people work with me nearly immediately from a networking event. For me, standing on stage and presenting is highly valuable because it sets you up as an authority. But I see other people at these events and I think, you've just wasted 2 hours. For what you do, there's little value here, but if you created an authority blog and put that out on LinkedIn, or you did something to promote yourself in another way, you're going to get a bigger bang for your buck. And that's 2 hours could have spent like for that.
I'm so glad you said that, especially given that you like networking.
I love it.
Because
And it's a
right,
value.
a lot of people who love networking would not necessarily say you're not going to get your best bang for your buck networking. But I love that you said that because I think this is where you have to be very in tuned with your business and what your business needs. If you're a mom trying to build a babysitting business or an organization business or something like that, you might have way more success building a brand on Instagram or Pinterest, where the moms hang out, than going to a B2B networking event where there's other business owners that are literally just exchanging cards or trying to promote their businesses as well. And so I think that a lot of people, when they're starting out, they don't really know what's the best way to spend their time to market. And so they try a little bit of everything, which is totally fine when you're starting out. But the question that you ask is always a question I ask my clients, which is, where do you want to be spending? Where are you going to see the biggest ROI on your time, your energy, and your money? Right? Like, you're going to spend $200 at a networking event and to have lunch or a bagel breakfast, or you spend $200 in ads and you literally, but I mean, or you spend $200 on a VA that will help you to pump your content out. Right? So it really just depends on what kind of business you want and what your goals are for your business, really.
Yeah, it's just such a good point. And the outcome you want also
And the outcome you want as
from
well.
doing, from going to network event. Because again, people exchange cards and then those cards sit there for days and months on end without any action happening with them. Also, there's a whole lot of, things in process to follow up and
Exactly. And I will say, like, if you have a very dynamic personality, you can stand out in a room, right? Like, you can be that person that at a networking event, you can stand out in that room and you can talk with confidence and conviction about your business, and you can get people inquiring and booking in calls with you and scheduling appointments with you 100%, right? But I find those people aren't going to networking events. Those people are using their voices to go live on social media or in other forums. But even if you have that personality trait or not, you can apply that anywhere.
absolutely. And one of the things that I find I'll let me donate a couple of my books as a prize. So you've got this opportunity to stand in the front of the room, talk about your business as well, or talk about yourself. Wow, you've written a couple of books. That lady must be an expert in her field.
Yes.
It,
Well, one
that's
of the things that I used to do when I first started out was a lot of speaking engagement in like local groups, local communities. And the way that I used to go about that versus sitting there listening and having to sit through a 2-hour luncheon or whatever would network with the founder of the group or the like this organization owner and actually offer something of value. Listen, I could teach a workshop on X, Y, or Z. I can provide books. I can do a free demo. I can teach X, Y, or Z. Or do you have availability in one of your meetings for me to present? And a lot of the times, these groups are looking for ways to mix things up and to offer value back to their members and their community versus it being the same thing over and over. And those are great opportunities for the members within the groups to be able to showcase their skills, provide a little bit of value for the community or for the members of the group. And so it becomes a win-win. So, it can work if you work it, is basically what I'm saying, right? You've got to know how to work it.
Definitely. And that's, and again, I keep going back to it. What's the outcome? If you're going to work it, what's the outcome you want? And they're
Right.
constantly thinking about what outcome. And, going to a networking event and throwing out business cards is not going to have the
Yes.
outcome that you
Yeah.
want. And it's building, and that's very much about building relationships. And we could do a
Yes.
whole discussion on that in particular. I was working with a client this week who's in HR. Now she was doing most of her marketing on Facebook and Insta, and we had a discussion about that. But it was absolutely perfect because her clients are small business owners, cafes,
Okay.
tradies. So it's all the wives in the back of the business who are
Yeah.
trying to get all the compliance for the HR, and they sit there at 8 o'clock at night once the house has settled down and they don't want to have to work, and they're scrolling through and they come across great HR advice that they just
Yes.
don't want to deal with, so they hire someone like herself. It's not normally where you would think that, and as someone who teaches LinkedIn, that's I would that's she has to have that set up as well, because when you Google a business, LinkedIn comes up first, or Google a name. Now
Yeah.
LinkedIn comes up before Google, but it was so sensible on her behalf because that's where her market was.
Yeah, and I think that's such a good point. You have to know where your market is. A lot of my clients, when they're starting out, like some of my clients will come to me like, which platforms? I'm like, you understand where your market is. So I saw an ad, it wasn't even an ad, it was a reel 2 days ago of an idea for a business, which is basically creating salt rooms. And you convert one of the rooms in your home into a salt room, and you just put some furniture in there, some sound, and literally charge people $150 an hour to come in and sit in your salt room. That's a fantastic idea. And I think the thing that was really cool about that is the fact that really, we are living in such a great time because there's opportunities for so many things. Business doesn't have to look the way it did 10, 12, 20 years ago. It's not this traditional path anymore. I heard an interview with Gary Vee recently, and he was basically saying that people, and I agree with this, are now charging to sit with other people. People are paying someone else to go walk with them, to come sit with them, because people are unplugging so much from social media and there's nobody in their lives that are, like, so they want personal connection. They want human connection. So they're paying people to come go on a walk with them, meet up on a Sunday and have lunch. And so there's businesses out there for anything. You just have to know how to market yourself and get in front of the right audience. And so maybe the salt room is great for someplace like TikTok and Instagram because, that's the kind of content that you would see there. Now, if you're in HR, LinkedIn is a perfect place for that, right? But I would even argue that, these social media platforms, the more common ones like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, those are more casual and, yes, more common and more, for lack of a better word, more social, right? A place like LinkedIn has traditionally become synonymous with corporate, professional, executive. But I think that what we're seeing more and more is that when you show the human side of you, it doesn't matter what niche you're in. That's the side that people connect with. Ultimately, that's the side that people want to buy from. If I'm trying to apply at C-suite or try to, get a job somewhere, obviously my resume is going to be on LinkedIn. Obviously, I'm going to have professional things on LinkedIn. But what if I showed my personal side? What if I showed that this is how I am industrious, or I use my intuition, or I am with my kids, or whatever? And it tells you the kind of character this person might be and what kind of person, how they'll show up in the workplace as well.
Yeah,
So, I
definitely
think it's.
the story part of it, and that defines your why usually as well. It's a part of the whole package. That's one of the things that I have been loving doing in recent times is helping people develop their essence story. It's different. It's their why story. But a lot of people go, oh well, what you gave me before with your family and why you moved into a business, that's a why story, but it's not really your essence story. There's more to us than that. There'll be part, and you touched on it a bit with your family business and being working in the business on a Saturday morning. So if you're building that essence story, you build more around that, and then that reflects the why. You don't have to say the why, because
Well,
essence story to demonstrate, and then somebody knows the true you, and that it's and so I rarely use the word passion because that will demonstrate it.
yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I feel like now that you mentioned that, I can even speak to that as to my why and what I do with women in business specifically, which is building these freedom first businesses, building getting out of survival mode and coming back to me being a little girl growing up in businesses and seeing this. My dad was always working, my mom was always working, and it was the mindset of, oh, when you have a business, you have to work all the time, right? You can be successful, but you have to work all the time. There wasn't much time for play. And it's like, this is the business. The business is important. You've got to do this for the business and that, and so it's like, and the few pockets of time that I would get with like my parents when it was like n the store was closed or the business, it was a holiday or whatever, was so precious. And it was a, but they were so tired, so of course it was their day off, right? So now, like, relating it to where I am now in business and what I want to help women in business do, specifically because I've also went through that journey as well, where building my business, having three children, scaling and growing my business, there were those moments of like, I cannot do this right now with the baby, or I cannot do this right now because I'm in the middle of a launch, or I've got to do this and I've got to do that. And it's great to have those boundaries from time to time, but when that becomes the norm where you're working, and then when you unplug from work, and then you're trying to put the kid to sleep and you're working on the laptop in the other room, and like you're just constantly plugged in. And I was just telling someone the other day, it's like when you're not in the business, you're thinking about the business. So it's like you're always on. That's one half of that survival mode, right? Like you have to be able to have that healthy detachment from your business and know that it's still going to function without you. Like I said it in the interview form. Your presence is supposed to elevate your business. It's not supposed to be the thing holding it up. And I think for a
I
lot.
love that. I think that statement sort of says it all, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah,
And
yeah.
so many women feel like I have to be, they not feel like they actually do in reality. They're the ones holding it all up. They're the ones running the team. They're the ones, typing the post, posting the post, recording the video, doing everything. And this isn't just about having support. It's about the systems that you put in your place, in place. It's about the structure. It's about how you build your business so that you can actually, even if you pause or you step away or you walk away, your business doesn't fall apart,
Yeah, and that's really a crucial. I those regular listeners will know that I travel quite a lot, and whether it used to be overseas and now it's around Australia, and then they'd see all these posts happening and they'd see all this other stuff and they go, I thought you were away, but it's all because of the systems behind the scene that You can do that, and that's why systems are so important to enable you to step away from your business. And that
100%.
point of, even though you're not there, not being there in your head, it's so important, because otherwise it just becomes an absolute struggle. And if you're under that level of stress, it affects every relationship around you as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you, if you're in that kind of stress as well, you can't even show up for the business fully to give the business what it needs to scale or to grow, right?
Right. How do you set boundaries?
Wow.
How long's a piece of string? I know that's a very open-ended question.
So I would say first you set the boundaries with yourself. And the way that I always start going, like the baseline of setting boundaries is knowing what you are and are not available for. Your boundaries can be, I am available to work for 2 hours on a Saturday morning without guilt. If it goes over that, I have violated my own boundaries. I am not available for clients who default on payments. I am not available for social media posts that drain my energy. When the thing is, a lot of people talk about setting boundaries, but if you're not even clear on the things you are and are not available for, you'll never know when you're violating your own boundaries. And what we see happening so often is that we are usually the people that violate our boundaries more than anybody else. And when that happens, it slowly chips away at your self-trust because it's like, okay, well, I told myself that I wasn't going to work longer on a Saturday morning. I did. And then that becomes a pattern. And then it tells your brain, well, I can't trust myself to stick to that boundary. I can't trust myself to stick to that commitment that I make. And so I think the baseline of setting a boundary is first knowing what you are and are not available for.
Now, out of
And
all the people I've spoken to, all of the people I've interviewed, nobody has ever clarified as simple as that and challenged people to set their own personal boundaries and be very specific about what is a boundary. And I'll just give you an example of one person who said, "Now I work from home, people are popping in all the time. And I tell them that I'm working and they don't respect it, or the husband comes in and wants them to do things." And they're pushing that external responsibility outside on someone else, whereas it should be their response. And that's why I wanted to give that, because I know that example, because I know a lot of women will be in that same situation. And that's their
100%.
responsibility, not the responsibility of someone else.
Yes, and I'll give you an example. Like something I used to do when my kids were younger, when I was recording or I was going live or even on client calls, I would have a paper on my office door. And so they would know when this paper's on the door, mommy's recording. Mommy's like, you cannot disturb mommy. That was a boundary. And so they know, oh, she's on a call. One of them just actually snuck in, they and then very quietly left, right? Because they know that. And so I can't now get mad at my kids for walking in and disrupting my flow if I never set that boundary to begin with. So that example you used about the husband walking in or people popping in, it's like, great, you know what? Listen, I am working from 9 to 2 o'clock. I'm available after 2. Would love to see you then. And people usually will respect your boundaries if you respect your own boundaries first, right? But a lot of people, to your point, will put it on the external circumstances rather than taking that responsibility first.
Yeah, definitely. My bookkeeper has a note on her email responses, and it says that she checks her emails at 10:30 and 2:30 every day.
Beautiful.
Yep.
Yes,
She'll
you
get
know
back to you.
exactly what to expect.
So you're not expecting an immediate reply.
Yes, that is a great example of a boundary. It doesn't have to be this harsh, aggressive, like this is associating me with being mean or cold or like, no, do not cross this line. It could be a simple thing like that. So now I know if I email her outside of those hours and she doesn't respond to me, and then I send her a follow-up email, well, I'm waiting for your email. that's on you because she was very clear what her boundary was in that position.
Definitely. Yes. Yeah. There's been a couple of urgent things where she does sort of realize, oh, that needs to be addressed with straight away. But that's, but again, we can have an exception as long as it doesn't become the rule.
100%, exactly.
Yeah. Talk about training children. I have my husband train. If I've got my office door closed, it means I'm in a coaching session or doing an interview like this. And he forgets. He just, he, and he's like what you said, the kids are coming out, oh, and then realize. And the funniest thing, he'll see this on the screen and then he'll say, oh, are you talking to someone? yeah, that's the person on the screen.
No. You hear my voice, that would mean
Yeah.
I'm speaking to someone.
Oh, it's 45 years. I'm still training. It's
It
No, absolutely. So yeah, I that's such an important factor. And I think if, big takeaways on what we've been talking about, but setting those boundaries, because that's where you can reduce that from just being survival, isn't
Oh,
it?
1,000%. Yes. I'm working with someone right now, and she has a pretty successful business, but that's one of the things that I'm trying to work with her on establishing a little bit more because she's finding herself in extreme survival mode where it's like from month to month, or sometimes day to day, despite having a very successful business, it always feels like something is on fire. Right. And that's just not sustainable. Granted, you're growing and money is coming in and everyone is getting paid, but your nervous system is a wreck on a daily basis. And that is not sustainable, right? Because you have to be able to put things in place so that your business scales without your time scaling, without your energy scaling, without your nervous system having to be at a wreck all the time. And the more bigger your business gets, that can sometimes get tricky, but this is why you have to start early. Like I always say, put systems in place early, put some systems in place fast, right? Because without those things, you're every single day or every single time there's something to be done, you're remaking a decision over and over again, right? Whereas if you had that system in place, that's it. I just go to that and that's what we do. Boundary is set, system is in place. I don't need to recreate the wheel every single time. I don't need to remake the same decision every single month. And there's a lot of people, believe it or not, that are quite successful that are still stuck in this cycle.
There's a couple of things I want to touch on there. One of the things I learned from a coach years and years ago, if I'm doing something again, then I should have a system for it. So if I've done it once, it's good. I'm doing it twice, there's a system for it. Develop that system. And when I put on my VA a couple of years ago now, I was able to hand her everything and go, here's the systems. And I didn't have to do a lot of coaching with her because it was all there already.
I always say, like, you should be able to, someone could leave your team or something, you could go on a month-long vacation or something happens with your health or a family member and drop anybody into a role and they should be able to pick up and run things when you
And
have
that was the other
systems.
point that I wanted to touch on. I know I was a GM of a multi-million dollar business, GM of sales for 20 years. And the owner had me in the business with the sales component, had a great admin leader and an amazing warehouse manager as well. And he could just take off on holidays. And that was part of this. So that was not his personality to be stressed about business. But if someone is that personality where everything is really stressful, that would be the recommendation, isn't it? That they hire someone to take over that role of dealing with the stress and manage the business for them. And they can step back and do what they're meant to be doing, especially if they're scaling the creativity of what's next.
Agreed, agreed. And the smartest thing you can do for your business is recognizing that, right? Like recognizing that I'm not the best at this. And I need to outsource that. I need to hire that. Sarah Blakely, the founder of Spanx, said it really great, brilliantly, when she said, hire your weaknesses. Like, you should be hiring your weaknesses. As a business owner, you're not going to know all the things. And that's okay. You don't have to. It's not a shot to your pride. It's not a shot to how good you are or not. It's just, I'm not good at certain. This is why we have a bookkeeper. This is why we have doctors. This is
That
why
was
we
my
have.
first hire was a bookkeeper, because that's not what I want to be dealing with.
Exactly. And you know, there's and a lot of times we think, okay, we need a lawyer, we need a bookkeeper, we need those essential roles, but you might also need, you know, someone who can design on Canva for you. You might also need someone who can make appointments for you. You might also need someone who can like do your laundry or something. I don't know, I'm just making things up, but you have to know what those things are. And understand that you don't need to be the one holding all those pieces together.
And
And it doesn't
that's
always have to be when I can afford it or when I need it, because there's always going to be something else that's going to come up that's going to cause a bottleneck. And then you said the people's personalities that are like that. You know, maybe there is some truth that it's your personality, but I also think there's a lot of conditioning there. Like if everything in your life is chaotic, there's a chance bringing that chaos to your business, right? And that's only part personality. That's habits. That's,
Correct.
you know, discipline. That's like lifestyle too, right? So you have to be able to be willing to have those honest conversations with yourself as well.
Yes, definitely. There's so many points that we've covered.
Yes, we went all over the map. We
I
went from New York to Brisbane.
know. This is why I love these conversations, because we get onto something and it's so relevant and so important for people to hear the information. We're looking at three major takeaways. What would you want people to definitely remember from this conversation?
Well, like I said, I think the boundaries is a big one, right? Like knowing your own boundaries first, setting your own boundaries, knowing what you're available for and not available for. And that's going to help you in every facet of your life. Systems, obviously, is the second thing, which is build systems in your home, build systems in your business, build systems with your health. Like talking about systems with my health in my notes app, I know what workouts I'm doing on which days. That's my system. For my health, I know these are the groceries that I need this week in order to stay on track with my macros, right? So that's a system too. So build systems wherever you can. Make it fun. You know, it's not always sexy. Make it fun, because that is what's actually going to help you to get to achieve all the other things you're trying to get to. And I think the third thing would be, what would the third thing be? Maybe you can help me out with that one. What would the third thing be?
And it was something I just took a note on too, that we were just talking about, the that presence in your business. Are you the right person in
Oh,
the right person for the role?
yes. And being the right person, I think more so than that is you not having to have to be the constant presence in your business, right? Like I said, like your presence should elevate your business. It shouldn't be the thing holding it up. And I will say that until I'm blue in the face, right? Like you, if you can't step away from your business and not feel like worried or guilty or panicked about it, then your business, you're not running. You know, sorry to say it, but like your business depends on you. And
And then, you know, that I know a lot of women particularly have what I would call hobby businesses then, which means it there's because they haven't set boundaries, because they haven't put systems in place, because they are the business 100% relies on them, then the business can't grow, can't scale, and it's a hobby business.
Exactly. And it's like, why did we start our businesses to begin with? To create time and money freedom, right? To have that freedom and flexibility. But then if you're stuck in your business every single day working and plugging away, it's draining you. It's attacking your nervous system, and you're not making the kind of money you want from it, then it's time to pivot. It's time to do things differently. And it doesn't mean, you know, posting more content or hiring another, this, that, or the other, and investing in some fancy software. It could literally be like, okay, where are the gaps in my business? And sometimes you can't see that because it's like the tree is too close to the forest, or whatever that saying is, right? And sometimes you're so in it, you can't see it. And that's the wisdom in having somebody like a business coach, or having, a mentor or something that can be your blind spot and see those gaps for you. Because oftentimes, like, you can't. And that's also when you're so stuck in survival. If you're stuck in survival mode, you can't make decisions. You can't. You're just not going to make, at least not decisions that's going to move the needle. And so if you're finding yourself in that place, then that's where I would invite you to like look at first, because a lot of the times people think, okay, well, maybe if I just learn this new strategy, or I just join this new program, or I just try this new trend, or do this thing that I saw like these other people doing, I'm gonna get that result. And more often than not, that's only gonna get you in more debt or further behind, right? Like, more often than not, the best place to invest yourself is in the kind of support that's going to help you plug those gaps and really look at your business from a fundamental, foundational level, and understanding how do I kind of like rebuild it with proper systems, with proper structures, with sustainable systems, because that is the only way you're going to scale.
Yes, most definitely. That if you in Having coach, and this is something else as well. And you're starting out, you find a coach that you're always looking for a coach that's got more skills than you. So when you're starting out, you may not have to spend too much to get a coach that's got more skills than you. And then as you grow, then you look for a new coach that can build more, bring more into business. And talking about coaching, Sophia, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, the first place to find me is on Instagram. Send me a DM, find me on Instagram. I'm so open to just like having conversations in the DM. I love connecting with people that way. My website is almost finished. I'm rebranding and restructuring it, but you can find me at safiasattar.com. And I also provided a link here for you, Janine, on a private podcast that I actually have that talks all about this, helping women get out of survival mode, helping you to scale with strategies and systems that will actually like move the needle forward in your business. And so those are some of the key ways you can find me, but just reach out to me on Instagram, Safi Sitar. I'm Safi Sitar everywhere. Like, there's no space between it. That's me. I kept it simple, easy to find. And yeah, if you would love to follow, follow. But if you want to just send me a DM and be like, listen, I listened to this podcast, I have this question, whatever, I'm always open to that conversation too.
Excellent. And all of the contact details will be in the show notes as well.
Yes.
And you can
Yes.
definitely find you. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I think we've covered a lot of ground. And even if there's just one thing that someone takes away and applies, that will be a vital component to building a more sustainable business and with less stress.
Yeah, that's the key. We're not here for stress.
No, not at all. Thank you so much, Sophia.
Thank you for having me.
That was great. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Remember to subscribe so you don't miss out on an episode, whether you are listening to it on your favorite podcast channel or you're watching it here on YouTube. And also go to JanineVosper.com if you want to have a conversation. And the thing with me is I have so many contacts. If it's not something that's in my wheelhouse of expertise, I have got so many people that I trust and can recommend that might be able to assist you to achieve the results that you want. I look forward to you joining me next day, week, month, wherever you are in the world. Janine Vosper, We Are Women podcast. Have a wonderful time. Bye-bye.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the five most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.